Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Scotland players are dropping like flies. Kieran Tierney is the latest to withdraw from the squad. Former boss Craig Brown says some players could be feigning injury to avoid playing. And John Fleck has been called in, but not until Tuesday's game with Israel. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
On the day that a Scottish football legend became Sir Kenny Dalglish, we've now had more Scotland call-offs than the Conservative Party's had resignations. Who'd be Alec McLeish between now and Tuesday night? But Big Eck is the boy from Barrhead who helped beat Real Madrid and bring a European trophy to Aberdeen, so he knows nothing's impossible in football and the fans never forget their heroes. That's why they're unveiling a statue to Bobby Lennox on Sunday. So we should get behind those who are going to play against Albania and Israel. Vote Big Eck.
Derek Johnson, do you still have your boots? Are you available?
No, they've all gone, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
It's getting to that stage.
Well, it is. It's a shame. Seven call-offs. But, you know, listen, he's got to get on with it. I mean, Big Alex is one of these men. He's seen it all before as a player. He's seen lots of call-offs. But as a manager, he must be devastated, because a lot of the players that have called off probably would have played. You know, the John McGinns of this world and Tierney and people like that. But listen, it gives other players a chance. This is the big chance that they've got. They're away with the Scotland side. They'll get their 90 minutes. Some of them, maybe some of them only get an hour, but it gives them a chance to show the manager what they can do.
I'm actually amazed, Gordon, to hear you say that Craig Brown has stated that he thinks some are feigning injury to avoid playing for Scotland.
Well, we'll hear those exact comments
about
later on.
He's been there, seen it and done it. He's
well, he always said, Craig Brown, when he was manager and when he was assistant to Andy Roxburgh, he always said, we want volunteers, not conscripts.
Well, I mean, I could talk about myself in Scotland. I mean, I called off so many times because there was a time where I wasn't getting a game when you had the likes of Jordan and Dalglish there. You know, they were always the first two picks. And Jock Wallace would say to me, look, I don't want you going away. If you're just going to go there and train and maybe get 5 minutes or 10 minutes, that's no use to me. We've a big game the following Saturday, so I'm pulling you out. And that was it. You were out. And I think that still happens to this day.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Doesn't have to be international football. It's not for everyone. So if you've got any club matters on your mind, then do feel free to share them. Big game in the Championship tomorrow, of course. You Partick Thistle fans, let's hear from you on that one. We'll kick things off though by hearing from Alex McLeish. I'm going to get Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson to pick their team from what's left of the squad. So you need to pick yours. We've got ourselves in a bit of a predicament with availability, but you can pick the team. Tell us who's going to start tomorrow night, or who should start tomorrow night. Alex McLeish is brushing aside any controversy surrounding the number of absentees. He says, quite simply, he's more focused on the players that are making the trip to Albania. He says the nucleus of the side still remains and does think there is a club atmosphere in the camp.
We kind of have the nucleus here. That's important. And I'm going to concentrate on the guys that are in the squad and pay them our utmost respect, and I really trust them. We've had a good start to training. We know what's at stake. We know we have two really big games ahead of us, and we can do it. I know that we can do it if we can play to our best performance level. The players that are not here, it's not in my control anymore. What is in my control is these guys in the squad right now, who, as I said, I've got the utmost confidence in, and we want to get these boys going into these games believing that they can win and, you know, give us a foot into the Euros. These fellas are all, you would think they were club teammates, you know, the way they got on. And there's a good camaraderie in there. There's no doubt about the camaraderie. I think the thing is that I made a lot of changes when I come in. I had to look at people. I've kind of done a la carte, looking at the whole British nation or Scottish players and beyond.
Hugh Keevans, Alex McLeish is right in one sense that it's I mean, it's a big story when all these players pull out, and that's why we're here. We're going to look at it and debate it and argue about it for the next couple of hours. But as far as he's concerned, he simply has to focus on who's there.
Yeah, and you've got to concentrate on the positive aspects. We've got a first-class goalkeeper in Alan McGregor. We've got Callum McGregor playing really well for Celtic. We've got Ryan Christie playing really well for Celtic. James Forrest. If you're bringing back Stephen Fletcher, an out-and-out number nine, give him a chance then. He's only back because of emergency circumstances. He's a pro. He knows that. He would never have been near the place had it not been for all the call-offs. So concentrate on the positives. Pick the best side and we're able to beat Albania.
Right, come on then. I'm going to worry an entire nation here. You're in charge.
Yeah.
You're in charge of Scotland tomorrow. We'll do Derek Johnson's first, then we'll get to you. Who are you picking, Derek?
Okay, I mean, when I said that about the call-offs, you can't say that about McGinn and Tierney because they were there. They actually get injured in their training.
Oh yeah, that's different, of course.
Completely different from the rest of them. Okay, I've gone very positive. I think he's got to be. Why go there and defend, come back with a 0-0? What are you going to get out of that? Nothing. For me, I would play a 3-5-2. I would play McGregor in goal. He's the best goalkeeper at this moment in time. I would play Bates, Henry and McKenna at the back. I think the wing backs for me would be Forrest and Robertson. The other three in midfield would be Fraser, McGregor and Armstrong. And up front, he's made a song and dance, Alec, about bringing back Stephen Fletcher for his experience. I would play him. He's scoring goals. And the other man that's scoring goals for fun for me as well is McBurney. He's got pace. You know, he's good. He's got a good touch. He knows where the goals are. So I would play Fletcher, McBurney up front.
I'll go for Gorham, McGrain, Jardine, Bremner, McNeil, Baxter, Souness, Jinky Jimmy Johnson, King Dennis Law, Sir Kenny Dalglish and Jaws, Joe Jordan.
And of the players who are in Albania?
Well, I listened carefully to what Derek was saying there. I'm trying to accentuate the positive here, but I'm not sure that Bates' first international appearance and Jack Henry struggling to do it at Celtic so far, I'm not sure that.
But the only way you're going to know Hughes by playing them. You know what I mean? Bates hasn't had a chance yet. He's done well. I would throw them in. Let's see what them. That's when you know what a player's like, when you throw them in and see what they can do.
I'm certainly going to have to with one of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No one else.
I just think you're exposing them too much to criticism.
But one of them is going to have to play. I mean, surely, if
there's only three centre halves there. Yeah.
So even if it is two in a back four, rather, it has to be McKenna and someone.
Well, yeah. McKenna has to be an automatic choice. I honestly think, you know, it truly is darkest before the dawn. And with all the call-offs, the litany of call-offs and the suggestions at why certain people have called off. So I have to go with my gut instinct, which is that we still have enough players left of sufficient quality to beat Albania, even in their country.
Who would have thought that Hugh Keevans is bringing the optimism to tonight's show? I love it. You've heard Derek Johnson's team. What's yours? And what do you make of all these call-offs? 01419511025. Get those calls in. Alex McLeish does say Albania are no mugs, admitting that Scotland have to be at their very best. He says he's had an open dialogue with the players about his ideas and says it's important to use the short time they've had together to try and develop.
Listen, I'm sure they've prepared well. They you know that they beat Israel in their home patch. They qualified for the last Euros, so they're not mugs. You know, it's not as if we should go there and everybody's saying that it's a definite win, must win. We hear all this kind of stuff in football. You know, Liverpool go to Belgrade last week after a 6-1 thrashing a few weeks before that and find it a hard game. It's always going to be a hard game. We have to earn the respect by playing to our very best. This time, I think we have looked at things and scrutinised them a wee bit differently. And we had, as I said, that long meeting with the players. They're with us for quite a long time this week, which we haven't really had in the past. And yeah, we did. We asked players. We threw it open at times. I said, what do you think? You know, so that's I think it's great for players because they're young guys. They don't have all the answers, as I said before, that, you know, I'm 59, I still don't have all the answers. But we try and learn and keep all that information inside your head going forward and trying to use that experience as much as you can.
01419511025 to have your say. Alec is in Motherwell. What's your take on all this, Alec?
Well, I've actually got 2 points, Gordon.
Okay.
The first point is, in my opinion, I just think there's something sus. And I don't know, I can't explain the word what sus, what I mean, but there's something just not right that so many players have called off in such a short period of time. There's just it just doesn't add up. And the second point is, see, if we win with two games and then we run a qualifier and all these guys all of a sudden all become fit, is Alec McLeish going to stay loyal to the guys that he's brought in, or will they be dumped for these guys all to come back in? I'd just like to see what the panel thinks should happen if we do qualify, get to the playoff, and these guys are all fit.
Let's take your first part first. You think there's something suspicious going on. I first of all have to talk about those who are genuinely injured. Injuries are part and parcel of football, and we are normally afflicted by it. So there are genuine injury cases in there. The one thing that does concern me, Alec, is that there's an apathy that surrounds the whole national team. The supporters are apathetic towards the team. They're apathetic towards the manager. And there is no longer the kind of fervour that used to surround the national team. Perhaps, and I underline perhaps, there are some players who share that apathy and who don't have the same degree of appetite to play for Scotland that Sir Kenny Dalglish had, or Bobby Lennox, who'll have a statue unveiled to him on Sunday, who went to Wembley and scored one of the goals that beat England after they had become world champions. All of that stuff. We remember our legends and we cherish them. But now there's an apathy surrounding the team. The second part of your question, if everybody was fit for the next stage of the European Championship qualification campaign, everybody, Alec McLeish would have the moral obligation of any football manager to pick the 11 best players he could, even if some of them had not taken part in the games against Albania and Israel.
Yeah, I mean, there is a distinction to be drawn here, Derek.
Yeah.
There are guys who have situations that certainly don't look good. You look at Matt Ritchie, Tom Kearney.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to John McGinn, Kieran Tierney, Ryan Jack, they say they're injured, unless anyone knows for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anything to the contrary, you sort of have to take that in the chin. Of course we understand where Alec is coming from. How on earth have we ended up with so many? And that's why people are asking questions.
I don't know if things have changed, Gordon, but I thought, certainly in recent times, if you were picked in the squad for Scotland, you had to turn up, even though you were injured. The Scotland doctor
yeah,
examines them and said, okay, you're not fit to play, blah blah blah. So I would imagine if you can't talk like that, saying, oh, they're kidding on, they're injured, they don't want to do that. If the club doctor or the Scottish doctor has looked at them and said, you're not fit to play, then what do you do?
I mean, especially someone like Kieran Tierney, who met up with the squad on Monday, trained all week, it's now Friday. Yeah. That to me would seem like, you know, a fairly easy to understand case of someone who has come along, given it a good go, picked up a knock in training, and isn't fit to play.
Yeah, you have to cut some slack to those like Kieran Tierney, who play week in, week out, who probably plays for Celtic on occasion when he's not 100% fit, who would literally and metaphorically run through the brick wall for you, and I'm sure cherishes every Scotland cap that he has. You have to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. Injuries are part and parcel of the game. There are one or two. I'm quite sure that Tom Kearney has decided he wants to play for England rather than Scotland. That's my opinion. Alec McLeish will...
Who actually makes the final decision that the player is unfit? Is it his club?
Scotland doctor.
Yeah, you're supposed to. You
have to report with the squad to whatever hotel there is. And if you say to look, I've got an injured ankle, the doctor will take you away. He'll diagnose it and say, well, you're right, you can't play.
I mean, this is, Alec, if you remember, this is where the argument or the disagreement kicked off with Kyle Lafferty, in the sense, remember, he sort of pulled himself out before he turned up. I mean, take Ryan Jack for instance, Hugh. Ryan Jack turned up as a late call up to the Scotland squad and literally turned up to then withdraw. So the guys who have withdrawn through injury in the last week have all handled it and gone through the right protocol.
Ryan Jack has presented himself saying, look, I would love to be restored to the Scotland squad. I'm really trying under Stephen Gerrard to establish myself at Ibrox. A Scotland cap at this particular time would be terrific. I am presenting myself. I don't think I'm fit. And the Scotland team doctor said, yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. You're not fit.
Well, look at his history, Hugh. This season alone, he's been out two or three times with, you know, little niggly injuries. He's one of these players that does get injured all the time.
Yeah, I mean, guys like John McGinn, Hugh, from memory, someone can correct me, I don't think he's ever pulled out of a Scotland squad before. He's now at a time where he's becoming a really integral part of the team. I think everyone would have had him start. So,
yeah. You know who epitomises a Scotland player for me at this moment in time? Is Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
He's the captain there as well. And you can say, well, they've played so many games. He's played as many games as anybody with the European scene, big games. And every week he's playing a big game down in arguably the best league in the world. But he will always turn up, you know, for the Scotland games. His attitude is first class.
In any walk of life, you cannot tar everyone with the same brush. There are those who are genuinely injured and who would have given anything to have taken part in these two games, but physically cannot do it. There are one or two others who are under suspicion, and we can say no more than that. One or two are under suspicion.
Who's under suspicion?
Well, I think that, as I say, I think Kearney's decided they'd rather play for England
Recent withdrawals, you mean?
I'm very surprised at Robert Snodgrass because
I think there maybe is a bigger picture there.
You know, I'm surprised. Alec McLeish, though, is just under 24 hours away, or just over 24 hours away from kicking off against Albania. For him and for everyone else, it's about the guys who are there. And I believe that they have quality sufficient enough to beat Albania. There's a danger under these circumstances, Gordon, that all of a sudden Albania become bigger and bigger in this. Yeah. Albania are international cannon fodder.
I don't think anyone is to us at the moment, I must say.
I think for us, and you're right, Gordon.
In Serie A. I mean, we did beat them at Hampden.
Player that we've got. And if we've got three or four of them out, we toil. And sorry to say, we'll give them a chance and everything else, but we need our strongest team playing in every game.
Get your suggestions in for tomorrow then. Ben RFC's on Twitter. It goes for McGregor in goal, Patterson, Bates, McKenna, Robertson. He then goes McGregor, McTominay, Fraser, Christie, and Phillips. And Fletcher up top. Give us your team. 01419511025. What do you make of the call-offs? We're going to hear from Craig Brown after the travel with Michael.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get in touch in two ways, on the phone or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Of course, Scotland dominating the headlines tonight. But if you've got some domestic football, some club topics on your mind, do feel free to share them and we'll get through that as well. Hugh Keevans, you're usually the smartest dressed pundit by a mile.
Yeah.
But I've just peered over the top of my computer because I'm just about tall enough to do that. And Derek Johnson's sitting next to you in a dicky bow. Is it just because it's a big weekend for Scotland and you want to look the part? Is there an explanation?
Absolutely mistaken. You're mistaken, Gordon.
You're off to referee in the snooker.
Oh, I wish. I'd be watching the snooker from Northern Ireland. It's been great. No, I'm at a function tonight. It's the Renfrewshire Business Awards tonight in the Normandy.
Well, Hugh, it's not often that someone outdresses you in here.
He's got a wee part-time number as a bouncer and you know how they have to dress on the doors.
Not tonight, pal. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from former Scotland manager Craig Brown, who says that some players could be feigning injury to get out of Alex McLeish's squad. Brown now believes the current Scotland boss will have a big decision to make on whether certain players should be chosen to represent the country again.
Each player should be considered on his own merits. Now, some are very genuine, some are unfortunate. There's no chance of me thinking that Mickey Devlin, for example, is feigning injury the way some, I suspect, are doing. Now, the three Aberdeen boys, I'm certain, knowing the characters of, they would never dream of doing that, but I have my doubts about one or two of them. Alec McLeish will know whether he feels these call-offs are genuine or not, and he can take action if he feels that some aren't as legitimate as others, and then just don't pick them in the future. I had no problem like that, I must admit, because they were all keen to come. I had one long-term request, and that was Paul Lambert, and asked if he could be excused, just as Scott Brown has done, and that was to further his career at Celtic. And it was a legitimate and an honest appraisal of the situation, international-wise and club-wise. So I respected that, but I have my question mark. I have a few question marks about some of the boys just now in the Scottish setup.
Well, as I said, that when he was Scotland manager, Craig Brown used to say, "We want volunteers and not conscripts." Now, in the case of Mikey Devlin, for example, where would the profit be in Mikey Devlin saying to himself, "I'll pull out of this one"?
He's got the chance for his first cap.
Yeah,
for his
exactly.
Country.
Where on earth would the profit be in that for Mikey Devlin? Someone who has made a career for himself by sheer hard work at Hamilton Accies and gets the move to Aberdeen and shows that he's good enough to make the step up from Hamilton Accies to Aberdeen. Now he wants to prove he can make the step up from club to international football. So we have to be careful that we don't tar everyone with the same brush. Mikey Devlin, I am sure, would have given his back teeth to have played Albania and Israel. He is simply physically unable to do so.
The other problem, Derek, is club football is going to return next weekend. Sure. And let's be honest, some of these guys will play for their club, but that doesn't mean they're not injured at the moment. There are injuries which you can get over within the space of a week.
Yeah, and Craig's got to watch as well. I mean, unless he knows something that we don't, you know, you cannot say that there are players out there who deliberately don't want to play or whatever. You know, because there's been seven call-offs. You're now who are these two? You know, and then all of a sudden these questions are being asked. Yeah, I mean, I believe as well it could happen. And of course it happened. It happened with myself. So I would imagine other players are the same. But unless you know 100% about somebody, I don't think you can come out and say that.
Norrie is in Paisley. What's your take on all this, Norrie?
Hi, panel. How are you? Listen, I'm a big Scotland fan. I've supported Scotland since McCoy's come off the bench in 95 to header as a winner against Greece. And it seems so long ago now when you look back at Craig Brown's team. I just feel that the current mood around the national team is really quite desperate. I've been a fan. I've been at every game in Glasgow since that night. But yes, I think Hugh has a point. I think people have got to a stage now where it's almost like, oh, Scotland are playing, you know. And I think it's very sad. I think that when you look at the kind of level of player even that we have maybe up front tomorrow, I know Derek was saying McBurney is somebody who he feels can do a job. I think when we look back at Craig's team, Jordan Jury, McCoy, Pat Nevin, Kevin Gallagher, Darren Jackson, what would we do for somebody like that to be playing tomorrow? So, I back the manager to get us the two wins that we need. I think we just have to see what happens on Wednesday morning. But, yeah, I think, you know, looking at it from a supporter's point of view, I do feel that things maybe aren't quite as good as what they could be. And I'm wondering if there is something that maybe we don't know about.
No, do you know what, Norrie? It's a two-way street. The fans have to be lifted by the players, and the players have to deliver success, because of course fans appreciate success more than failure. So we've arrived at a stage where it's been 20 years since we played in the finals of a major competition. The standard of player, let's be brutally honest, has declined in those 20 years.
Absolutely.
Since we left France in 1998. And the level of achievement, yes, we've hit the bar once or twice under Alec McLeish, under Walter Smith. We've struck the bar, but we've never got to the finals of a major competition. So I do believe that now, on the back of mediocre campaigns, mediocre results and general frustration, I do believe that the whole thing is now enveloped in apathy. And
yes, I'd agree with you there, Hugh. And I think I was speaking to the producer about the call-offs, and I don't know if I read last night that Snodgrass had scored in a bounce game for West Ham.
I read that myself online, Hugh.
I know that obviously there might be a difference between playing for your country and playing in a bounce game, but it really is, you know, Snodgrass and your Matt Ritchies, I think there is a point that probably they thought they're not going to be playing, and they've asked if they could be left out. But I think if we look at it, you know, guys like Snodgrass, good servants to the country, but in the last campaign, I thought he was below average.
In our case, Norrie, in our case, you can have players, and I'm not talking about anyone specifically, but you can have players who think about their club career more so than playing for Scotland. And if they think that they would be better off recharging their batteries over the 2 weeks that are confined to international football, then some will do that now, because club football is much bigger, it's much better rewarded financially, and players are inclined to look after their club careers.
Maybe like everything, Hugh, it's perhaps just a bit of clarity that's needed, because Norrie's, on one hand, players have various different sets of circumstances that, unless you know for a fact, you know, it's difficult to sort of point fingers. But then Norrie is right. If you're talking about from an injury perspective, I have read these reports online that Snodgrass played this bounce game and scored, in fact, I think, against Brentford yesterday. So without pointing the finger, what it does do certainly is leaves more questions than answers. Mm. And people just like a bit of clarity,
but
don't they?
Did he say, Gordon, that he was injured? Was that did he well, call, was his call off was through
from,
injury?
I don't think there have been quotes from Robert Snodgrass on the subject.
Because he would have had to report as well if he was in the squad, you know, and for him playing, you know,
he wasn't included in the initial squad, I don't think.
The bottom line here is that Norrie is activated as a Scotland supporter. He goes to all the matches at Hampden. But we have to get others reactivated. We have to get people interested in the national team once again. 20 years of non-success has bred apathy, and now it's bred suspicion that some players are more interested in club football and don't really care about playing for their country. But we have to get that mindset altered.
But that's managers as well, Hugh, of these clubs, you know, that the players are with, you know, because if they feel they've got a lot of hard games coming up, there'll be a word in your ear. If you've any injury, if you still got that little niggly injury, you're not going away with your club. We need you in the coming week. So I think a manager as well would have a say in the matter.
St Rocks FC on Twitter has got the team all sorted: McGregor, Patterson, Shinny, McKenna and Robertson, McGregor and Armstrong, Forrest, Christie, Fraser and Johnny Russell. And then PS, can you give the juniors a plug tomorrow for the international break? And even, for example, St Rocks v Glencairn at James McGrory Park.
Well,
there we go. I think that's job done.
I might go to a junior game myself tomorrow.
Which one?
Vale of Leaven against St Anthony's.
Any particular reason?
Because when I was a wee boy, my family came from Govan.
Uh-huh.
St Anthony's played in Govan, right beside Ibrox Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get taken there to watch my junior football.
Well, I thought they took you to Ibrox, you were away.
Do you know who was the goalkeeper when I started watching? It was Bomber Brown's dad. Andy Brown.
Good fact, I like that.
Yeah.
What does international break mean for you, Derek Johnson? Off to a game, feet up.
Painting.
Oh.
I'll be working in the...
Like as an artist or,
no,
or just
no, no,
a wall in the house?
I'll be working in the lounge, yes. Oh, right, I'll be painting tomorrow, yes.
Yeah, that's... Well, there's a joke somewhere about watching paint dry in the Scotland game, but we'll just move right on
we'll
by that
him,
one.
We'll just call him Leonardo now instead of Derek.
01419511025 and the phones. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. I keep saying it. If you want to talk club football, you know where we are. Jim is in Larbert. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem, Jim. What's your point?
Right, in my opinion, these players who have withdrawn from the Scottish team, most of them are on good wages and seeing all their teammates sunning their cell in Dubai, etc. I think that's what they would rather be doing. In my opinion, Alex should put a note out asking all Scottish players that want to play for Scotland to put their name forward and work from there. But after all, the Scottish team's never been as bad for, as Hugh says, 20 years. Absolutely shocking for 20 years.
Until we get photographic evidence of somebody sunning themselves in Dubai, then we'll have to give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. But I do agree with you to the extent that there are players who would rather protect their club career than further their international career, Jim. But we are not so rich in talent that we can afford to say, right, you've been a naughty boy, you didn't turn up for the squad at Albania and Israel,
you're not getting in the squad anymore. I don't think that we are in a position where we can afford to do that.
For us to have a chance of beating anybody,
I mean,
we are the small team now. We used to think, oh, well, Cyprus is a small team and all, we should be able to beat them. That is not the case anymore. We need all our best players playing for us to have a chance to beat anybody.
Yeah, but what about this distinction that we're drawing, Hugh? Of course, if John McGinn's injured and he pulls out and Kieran Tierney, fine, they can be selected the next time, no problem at all. But if there are guys who've said, nah, not for me this time, should they really be allowed back in?
If they say to the manager, if the manager gets any sniff at all that that's the case, then I would agree with you. You don't pick them. You can't pick and choose what games you're going to come.
Let's let Jim back in. On you go, Jim.
I'm sure there's loads of young kids, and we should start all over again. Starting with the young fellas. Forget about all these guys that's 28 and 29. Forget about these guys. Start with a fresh, with new blood.
But Jim, that's when players are at their peak, 27, 28, 29, and you need experience. You can't just go out and play 11 youngsters. I mean, I think you're right about trying to bring a few through, and that's probably what will happen tomorrow. I think a lot of the young lads that are in the squad will get a game tomorrow at some stage. You've got to see how they're going. You can't just pick the young lads. They've got to be good enough, first and foremost. And I don't think we've got good enough youngsters, certainly 7 or 8 of them, that we can start a game with them.
You know, when Scott Brown was accused of picking and choosing when he would like to play for Scotland, I said at the time, Gordon, that, you know, if you're in a bit of bother, you want the hardest guys round about you to get you out of bother. Mm-hmm. So there'll come occasions when, yeah, you might think, well, he didn't turn up for this match, but we really need him for that match.
Also, let's bear in mind, I know it all seems like it, you know, it's all doom and gloom, but if we're talking purely about age, Jim mentions, you know, starting again. See, well, Alan McGregor obviously is not included in this. See, the back four looks something like Patterson, Bates, McKenna, Robertson. And I'm being hypothetical.
Yeah.
That's an extremely young back four.
22, 23.
Say the guys in front of that are McGregor and Christie, and then in front of them, Forrest, Fraser, Armstrong. That is an extremely young team. So this idea that we're sticking by all these old guys, I'm not sure how accurate that is.
No. And, you know, I do take Derek's point on board that you'd like people who are in the peak of their careers. But Patterson plays in England's Premier League. McGregor and Ryan Christie,
Europa League a week ago.
And would be expected.
Well, we had somebody there, I don't know if it was Jim, that came on and said they wanted Patterson at right back. You know, he's played right back for Hearts for a long time. He's played in midfield. He's now a striker scoring goals, and you want to throw him back at right back again. That's the one position we don't have anybody
back. Football's a pragmatic business. You don't pick the players that you necessarily like, you pick the best for the job. And you are always obliged to remember the circumstances. If it's a tournament where you're trying to win qualification to that tournament, then it's not a personality contest. Even if you think that there are chances, then if the chips are down, you have to play them.
All right, thank you to Jim in Larbert. Give us a call if you want to get involved. Do you agree or disagree with what you're hearing so far? John Fleck has been called into the Scotland squad, remember, but not until the game against Israel on Tuesday. We're going to be speaking to James Shield, who's a Sheffield United correspondent. He's going to give us the lowdown on John Fleck after the travel with Michael.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call if you want involved, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. As you can imagine, the Scotland squad is dominating the headlines, but if you do have anything on your mind as far as domestic football goes, then feel free to share it. There was a call up, Hugh Evans, to the Scotland squad today. Now, he's not going to join up for a couple of days, and that is John Fleck.
Yeah.
So we're pleased to say we're joined on the line by James Shields, who's a newspaper correspondent for Sheffield United. So certainly one of your specialist subjects, James. Thanks for joining us. I believe you've been banging the drum for John Fleck to get a Scotland call up for quite some time. What do you make of it now that it's finally happened?
I have been. I must admit, I'm not surprised, but I am. I'm not surprised he's in the squad, but I am surprised it's taken this long. And you, You're right. I think I've probably been boring my readers and probably boring the coaching staff and maybe even John himself. I don't know. With sort of running that campaign in our paper, but no, I'm delighted for him. I think it's well deserved. I think it'll be certainly beneficial for Scotland, and I think he's got all the qualities and all the attributes required to go and make a place in that squad he's on. Just a shame it's taken so long.
Yeah, how would you rate his form this season then?
His form has been excellent, and that's been one of the real standout things, certainly from my perspective, having watched John play, is that he came into the club when they were in League One. He was part of the squad that pretty much steamrolled through that division. But in the 2.5 seasons that he's had at the football club, and including that step up from League One, which he'd been playing in, of course, with Coventry, but that step up from League One to the Championship, he's taken that in his stride. And I think one of the great things about John is not only sort of the quality of his play, but the consistency as well. You very, very rarely get a bad game from John. He's pretty much a sort of a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 every week. And I guess that's what every manager in football, be it in England, Scotland, Ireland or wherever, wants from their players.
Stylistically, what does he bring? Because, I mean, I think anyone who's watched him when he broke through as this wonder kid up here at Rangers, he's perhaps a different player now to what he was then.
I think he is. I mean, I actually remember watching John play many, many years ago in the Victory Shield at Scunthorpe for Scotland versus England. And that was the reason I went along, because we'd heard all about, you know, this player who was coming through at Ibrox. And I went along to see what all the fuss was about. Yet you're right, he's a very different player now. And I think the other good thing as well from Scotland's point of view, and this may well sort of help him try and cement a place in that squad, is that he's played a number of subtly different roles since he's been at Sheffield United. Pretty much all the way through, he's obviously been a central midfielder. He's been sort of a holding player at times. He's now playing a little bit more further upfield in a slightly more advanced role since a player called Oliver Norwood's come into the football mm-hmm. club. But one of the great things for him is he's a continuity player. He links the play really well. He very rarely wastes a pass. I think if there is a fault of his, an area where he could improve, it's in terms of his goal scoring, because he's got a lovely shot on him, gets himself into some good positions. But, you know, he can play pretty much anywhere, sort of in a line, if you see what I mean, from yep. the, you know, through central midfield, from the back four up to the front two. But I think the other thing that I really love about John, and I think most football fans love to see, is that he's got that technique. He's got the calibre, he's got the sort of, you know, the technical ability, he can see a pass, but he's also got a little bit of the devil in him. He sort of, you know, reminds you of a kid playing football on the street. He, you know, he's not the biggest, but he can certainly look after himself, and he's just got that sort of bit of tenacity, that bit of, and I mean this in the right way, that little bit of nastiness that I think every player needs as well.
James, John's a Glaswegian. The devil is in the DNA here.
quite.
Now, he has not been brought in to play against Albania tomorrow night, because the plans have been laid for that one, but he will perhaps get a chance against Israel at Hampden, which is John in his hometown. Do you get much of a chance to speak to him? Do you know that this international call-up will mean so much to him?
I do. I mean, as you sort of said earlier, I've probably been sort of banging the drum so hard I've broken it in the past. But, you know, when we've put this to John, you know, he's been very diplomatic. He's always sort of played it down and said all the right things and said the things that you would expect a footballer to say about, if I keep playing well for my club, then, you know, hopefully I'll get a call up for my country. Privately, you know, everybody around him will say he's been absolutely desperate for this. I think it's something that, well, I don't think, I know it's something that will mean an awful lot to him, to his family, and the football club are very, very proud as well to see him get this call up. So I think, you know, it's pretty much, you know, as I say, what every sort of fan, what every Scotland fan would want. And that's a really good technical player, a player, as you say, who's got that sort of devil in his DNA. And also someone who's actually desperate to be there as well. It will mean an awful lot to him.
It's interesting, actually, listening to you, because I played with his dad obviously Robert Flack. Yeah. You know, and the same type of players, he wasn't the biggest either, but he was hardy. You know, he can win a tackle, he could score a goal, he can pass the ball, Robert Flack. And I think the one person who'll be proud will certainly be his dad.
I think, yeah, actually, Robert's his uncle, actually. I did an interview with John not so long back where he said actually thought his dad was probably the best player of the three. But you're absolutely right. The positions are different. But you know what? I mean, I remember seeing Robert as well play, and there's so many similarities about them in terms of their attitude, in terms of the way they handle themselves and the way they can look after themselves. I've never, ever seen John, certainly for Sheffield United, be bullied in a game of football. Yeah. And he always wins that physical battle first. And I think that particularly became apparent in League One, which was a little bit more sort of an industrial, agricultural sort of type competition than the Championship obviously is. So he's got that side of the game as well. And it's pretty much I wouldn't say the perfect package, because, as I said earlier, in terms of his goal-scoring ability, or certainly the tools he's got to be able to score goals, I think he can improve that side of his game, but he's pretty much near to sort of the complete package.
Great stuff. Thank you to James Shields, the Stars Sheffield United correspondent. So he knows John Flack's game well, Hugh. I just thought it was important because, let's be brutally honest, not everyone, but some people will bang on for certain players to be included and maybe haven't quite seen that much of said player. They just do it because they get this idea. So I thought it was important to just get someone who actually has watched every minute of John Flack this season, just to see what he can bring.
And his uncle Robert was some player as well. Quite right. But it's good to see him get the chance. And he knows, and we know, why he's getting the chance. And that's because we've reached emergency status. But that will not,
it's nice to be thought of,
it will
you.
Not that's diminish important. His ability.
No, absolutely not.
George and Airdrie, what's your take?
Hello.
Hi, George.
Hello. Hi there, sorry. Yeah, I've just, as far as Scotland's concerned, I think we're wasting our time. I mean, we have a team full of second class players, second rate players. John Andrew Robertson at Liverpool, he's exceptional. He's a great player. He plays in the best league in the world, and he holds his own against anyone. Apart from that, no, I don't see any footballers at all, honestly. I think we're wasting our time. I think we're an embarrassment to what we were 30, 40 years ago when we had Souness, Dalglish.
What does that mean, George, though? Because, wasting our time, you can't just pack it all up and turn off the lights of the national team. So what do we do?
Listen, I think if we can't beat Albania tomorrow, I think we should just pull the plug on the whole thing. Oh. I mean, we could withdraw from international football,
George.
Because as someone said earlier, nobody's interested in playing.
I hear in this programme all the time that we're a laughingstock, we're this, we're that. Nothing compared to the laughingstock we would be if we were the first major footballing country to pull the plug on the national team. How embarrassing would that be?
Well, the embarrassment as it is. If we're talking
worse.
Can we beat Albania? Albania, really, honestly.
Well, you know, Albania. Do you know what happens in football? It moves in cycles. You can be really in the grubber one season, and in the following season, the whole picture can change. Or in two or three seasons, the picture can change. So that is the nature of football. So to suggest that you abandon international football because things aren't good right now is ludicrous.
The Pundit. With Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Thank you to George and Airdrie. It's time for Beat the Pundit, though. In fact, we're late for Beat the Pundit, so be quick. 01419511025. If you want to play, that's the number to dial. And you only have until the news at 7 o'clock, so do it quick. Remember, just for getting through, you don't even need to get any questions right. Just for getting through, you'll win yourself a pair of tickets to Chris Boyd's testimonial tomorrow at Rugby Park. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking at the absentee list, the lengthy absentee list for the Scotland game tomorrow, and we've been hearing from the likes of Alex McLeish as we build up to that one. So keep the calls coming, and if you want to talk domestic football, we can do that as well. We'll get to that next.
The Pundit.
With Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is first time for Beat the Pundit. Hugh Keevans and DJ are standing by. One of them is going to be up against Sean from Barrhead. How are you tonight, Sean?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks.
Good stuff. And Sean, you're a winner already just for getting through. Two tickets are yours to Chris Boyd's testimonial tomorrow. I see on the screen here you're a Celtic fan, but listen, any football fan can go down and enjoy their day. That sound good?
Aye, that sounds alright.
Alright.
That's
the best we could do.
It's for a good cause.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. A Kilmarnock Heroes against Rangers Euro 11. You know, guys like Ali McCoist and even Gary Holt's playing, the Livingston manager, our very own Alex Ray, Charlie Adam, Pedro Mendes. So there's lots to see down there anyway, Sean, and I'm sure you will enjoy your day. But before we can think about that, you've got Beat the Pundit. Heads, it's going to be Hugh Keevans. You're up against tails. It will be Derek Johnson. And it's tails. DJ up against Sean from Barrhead. Get those headphones on. I'll give you some Clyde 2 in your ear, and we'll get the clock ready for Sean. You've got 30 seconds, Sean. You're going head to head. The secret is you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
£650,000 was the record transfer fee received for which Dunfermline player in the 90s? What was the final score of Scotland's game against Albania in the previous meeting?
1-0 Scotland.
Who's the captain of Hearts?
Crystal Pera.
Which Spanish club did Alan Hutton play for in 2013?
Pass.
How many games has our Bolton manager Dick Campbell been banned for?
3.
In what year did Kieran Tierney get his first Scotland cap?
That was rubbish.
No, you've still got time. What year did Kieran Tierney? Alright, okay. I'll tell you what, they're quite hard. Let's bring Derek Johnson back, see how he fares. Derek, are you ready?
Everything she does, you know.
That's plenty. Magic. You ready?
Right, okay.
Your time starts now. £650,000 was the record transfer fee received for which Dunfermline player in the 90s?
No idea.
What was the final score between Scotland and Albania in the previous meeting?
1-0.
Who's the captain of Hearts?
Berry.
What Spanish club did Alan Hutton play for in 2013?
Seville.
How many games has our both manager Dick Campbell been banned for?
8.
In what year did Kieran Tierney get his first Scotland cap?
2017.
And which Scottish manager has coached 4 teams in both Scotland and the Netherlands? Quick.
The Cavalcat.
Okay.
Dear me.
What do you think, Sean? You weren't too happy about your own effort, but you've heard DJs. Do you think he did any
just
better?
Just as bad.
Slightly better.
I can't believe I get Celtic fan, you'll be kicking yourself. Let's go through them. Well, do you know what, Sean? You might have known the first one as well. 650 grand, the record transfer fee for which Dunfermline player in the 90s? To Celtic?
Oh, Jackie McNamara.
So 0-0 after the first question, 0-0 after the second question. It was Scotland 2, Albania 0 in the previous meeting at Hampden. Who's the captain of Hearts? You and I both know I can't give you Berry. You know that. It's Berra. Christoph Berra.
One letter.
Yeah, but it changes everything. So 1-0 to Sean. Which Spanish club did Alan Hutton play for in 2013? It was Mallorca.
Mallorca.
How many games has our both Dick Campbell been banned for? It's 8. Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
That's quite something.
For a 65-year-old, yes. Come on, Dick. Pull yourself together, man. But Derek got it.
Yeah, he did. In what year did Kieran Tierney get his first Scotland cap? It was 2016. None of you got that right. You were the only one who got a crack at the last question. Which Scottish manager that's the key word there, which Scottish manager has coached 4 teams in Scotland and the Netherlands? Is
Jimmy Calderwood.
So I think it's 1-1.
One each.
Yeah, I think it is.
Tiebreaker. Yes.
I'll take it.
No, you take,
so will I.
Take it to extra time, Sean. Right, here's the deal with the tiebreaker. I'm going to read the question. I'll get DJ to write his answer down, and then I'll tell you to give me your attempt. So the question is this. As always, it's quite a random question because we need to separate you somehow. How many different teams have appeared in the Scottish Challenge Cup final but never won the trophy? DJ, write your answer down.
Many teams. Say, give me that again.
How many different teams have appeared in the Scottish Challenge Cup final but never won the trophy? So yeah, I'm assuming you're just guessing here, let's be honest. Right, DJ, show me your answer, please. All right, Sean, give me your attempt.
14.
Sean's gone 14. DJ's gone 20. The answer is 8. Sean, the sign ball is on its way to you. Well done.
Cheers.
Good man.
Well done, Sean. Well done.
Sean's off to Chris Boyd's testimonial as well tomorrow. He's delighted about that. Kilmarnock Heroes against the Rangers 11. If you still fancy it, that's you missed the chance as far as Beat the Pundit goes, but you can still buy the tickets, £10 and £5. The ticket office at Rugby Park, kilmarnockfc.co.uk. Like I say, a whole host of names involved: Ali McCoist, Pedro Mendes, Charlie Adam, Alex Ray, and so on. So if you're going down there tomorrow, enjoy it. Let's talk a little bit about domestic football then. What's on your mind as far as the club stuff goes? See all you that are tweeting away saying I'm bored of international football. Come on, this is your chance. 01419511025. You're going to the juniors tomorrow, Hugh. And Harry Millen's got a good tale. He says, I'm listening to Hugh talk about St Anthony's. My grandpa was Bobby Evans' trainer at the time. He wanted to miss a game because he was to be his brother's best man. They said if he scored a hat-trick by half-time, he could go to the wedding. And he duly did. What an effort that is.
In the old Moor Park days, when the Ants played at Moor Park beside Ibrox Park. Yes.
Now, you told me a story at the break about you going to this game tomorrow, and it tickled me. Yeah. Please share.
The Vale of Leaving apparently know that I am a pedestrian and not a cab driver. So
how do they know you're coming, Hugh?
Because I mentioned on social media that I'm going along to this game. So they said,
very well, good.
Take the train to Alexandria. So that's what
that's when you know you've made
agenda.
It, Derek, that when you're going to the game, the club contacts you to tell you how to get there, just in case you get lost. So anyone in the local area, the Alexandria area, if you see an elderly gentleman wandering tomorrow, pull over, give him a hand.
Exactly.
He might be his grandchild with
him. What kind of bonnet is it you have?
His old Peaky Blinders hat. Peaky Blinders hat, yeah.
Yes.
What about the championship tomorrow?
Well, the big talking point for those who are actually playing football tomorrow is, of course, the Falkirk Partick Thistle game, because it's game number 5 in charge for Gary Caldwell at Partick Thistle. They are 2 points above Falkirk, who got their win last weekend to boost confidence and morale. And the obvious the obvious topic tomorrow, if Falkirk win, then they go above Partick Thistle, and Partick Thistle hit rock bottom in the championship. So it's a massive day for Ray McKinnon, the Falkirk manager, and Gary Caldwell, who has had a tormented start.
Partick Thistle fans, give us a call. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of tomorrow. Lots of you got in touch last Saturday to say that the performance was better. You've still not got that win yet. So is it going to happen tomorrow or not? 01419511025. Brian is on Twitter. He says game of the day, Falkirk Thistle. Who will be bottom by the end? That is the big question. And we had a tweet in as well from a Partick Thistle fan, if I could just find it very quickly. It was by Jim McLaughlin. He says, what are the guys thinking on Brockville? He puts it in inverted commas, to be fair. I'm expecting a nervy affair, no one wanting to lose, so a score draw.
I mean, it's a terrific game and it should be a battle tomorrow. Again, I'll say it, there won't be any lovely football played there tomorrow. It's a battle as far as Thistle are concerned. But look at the other two games on there as well. Ayr United against Morton and Queen of the South against Inverness. Three cracking games in the championship.
I mean, unfortunately, this is another trait where Scottish football is concerned, and indeed every other country. If a team is on the slide, and Partick Thistle are undeniably on the slide, then there come pivotal moments. When Partick Thistle shipped 5 goals against Morton 2 Saturdays ago, you know, that was a moment for reflection where the Thistle fans were concerned. If, and I underline if, they were to hit rock bottom tomorrow, then of course that's another watershed moment for the Partick Thistle fans. And, you know, they do find the scoring of goals difficult, and Falkirk aren't exactly prolific either. So it could be that one goal decides the match.
And Derek, this is this is one of the occasions where all these cliches come to the fore, that, you know, either manager, they won't care how it happens, and off the backside, all the rest of it, just do whatever you can tomorrow to win the game, or certainly come away with something.
Well, you know, every manager knows if you don't get results, you get the sack.
Yeah.
You know, eventually that's what happens. That's just a fact. And I think you get into a habit of winning games, but you also get into a habit of losing games as well. And that's what Thistle have got to get. This is no disrespect to Falkirk. We're talking about Thistle. You know, they've got to start back on the winning trail again. I think they've got to start battling for games. And again, if you're a Thistle fan going there, don't think you're going to be playing from the back and nice little 1-2s through the midfield, getting the ball out in the box. This is about getting the ball from the back up to the front and fighting in the opposition half, trying to get a win. Any victory whatsoever, it could be the worst game in the world. But if Thistle come away with 3 points, I'm sure the manager, the players and the Thistle fans that will turn out in the numbers there will be absolutely delighted.
We're going to keep talking club football. We're about to hear from former Rangers defender Marvin Andrews. He's got some thoughts on the current defensive situation at the club. Let's take a call from Paul and Kirkintilloch first. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. How's you?
Hi, Paul.
I'm calling to me. I hear that Kieran Tierney is now still out the Scotland squad.
Yep.
Along with a lot of players I've put out. I can see. I think now, so I'm 41, and I can see that now I think the international football scene has changed since I was younger. And you still represent your country in that, but if you think about it this way, Celtic play, and other teams at Scotland Prison Football, play in Europe every season, where before... You played international football and it was your chance to play against the best players in the world. That's when you really tested yourself. If you think about Kieran Tierney in recent years, he's been playing against the best players in the world in the Champions League and even the Europa Leagues. There's a lot of really good teams in that. Now, I'm not saying that I want him to fill out the Scotland squad, but I can see more reason now why players do fill out the Scotland squad. Well, they're testing themselves more with club football than they are with international football.
This is probably a redundant point, really, Paul, because Kieran Tierney's pulled out because, you know, he's injured. But let's speak a bit more generally about what you're saying. Would it not be worth considering, though, that if Kieran Tierney, or anyone else, because like we say, we're hypothetical, is testing themselves at such a high club level, as you say, are you not better taking those skills and then trying to use them to benefit the country?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I'm not encouraging, I'm not saying he's not injured for that, but I just think that now the tournaments, even the European football is maybe, it's, in some ways, it's just as big as a World Cup.
Well, let's discuss Kieran Tierney specifically. Here's someone who comes through the Celtic Academy, who is put into the team by Ronnie Dyla, who lives the dream on a daily basis. He only wanted to play for Celtic, and there he is, and he has captained the club. The next step for Kieran Tierney is to play for Scotland, and he has achieved that, and achieved that with distinction. So every game that comes along, Kieran Tierney wants to play in it, and I honestly believe that it's unfair to put his name against any talk of they've got Champions League football or Europa League football, it doesn't matter to them. I honestly believe it matters a great deal to Kieran Tierney specifically, yep, and that he is out because he's simply physically unable to play.
I mean, that's what we're saying. Everybody's different. We suggested that earlier on. I mean, the attitude of some players is first class, the attitude of others is maybe not. Kieran Tierney turned up the same as John McGinn,
trained,
and got injured while you were training. Now, they were dead. They wanted to play in these games, but if you're injured, you go out. You can't say that for them all.
Thank you to Paul in Kirkintilloch. On the subject of domestic football this weekend, Liam McIntosh is on Twitter, says, Gordon, you're talking about the battle at the bottom in the Championship. We're over a quarter of the way through the season, and the fact that that battle doesn't include Alloa is a great credit to Jim Goodwin, and long may it continue. Fair point, you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of St Mirren fans were keen to have Jim Goodwin back at the club where he played, back as manager, but he's doing a great job at Alloa, but I'm sure that Jim would also be the first to say, yes, we're over a quarter of the way, but we're not even at the halfway stage yet. So he's not absolving Alloa from the criticism in the future.
There will come a time where Jim Goodwin will be considered for a St Mirren job again, because he was liked so much as a player there. I think the chairman and everyone else absolutely love him, so don't rule him out coming back in the next few years.
Sean Graham's on as well. He's happy with you, Hugh. He says he's great to hear you talking about St Anthony's and St Rocks were mentioned as well. Don't forget the aunts, Mary Hill, Pollock, Arthur Lee, Neilston, Benburb, Rossvale. He's rhyming them all off. He says folks should go along and support the juniors tomorrow.
Yes,
so seems like a good idea to me. You've got your map all written out.
Yeah, I know Alexandria Station. Yes, I'll take one of the grandkids with me. I think two would be too much for Vale leaving to hand
to look after you.
Yes.
What time does that game kick off tomorrow?
1:15, because we're into the early dark days now. So 1:15 kickoff.
Right, okay. It's 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter, it's at Clyde SSB. That was where Sean got in touch that I just told you about a second or two ago. Let's speak to Charlie. I think Charlie in Cambus Lang, he's about to be ready. He's keeping us waiting, Derek Johnson. It's like when they do a long run-up, you know, on the penalty, and you're just not quite sure what's going to... what's going to happen at the end of it? Charlie in Cambus Lang is now with us. What's your point tonight, Charlie?
Good evening. How you doing, lads?
Good night, Charlie.
Hey, I have a couple of wee points. I don't know if my first one is, why don't they see like the way you've got the Champions League and then they run alongside the Europa League? So therefore, if you don't make it in the Champions League, you go to the Europa League.
Yeah.
Why don't they do the same in the World Cup? Why isn't there a lesser trophy for the teams that can't make it into the World Cup? Therefore, it gives the younger generation, the likes of Scotland, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, all these places, an opportunity and a chance to play for something. Because let's face it, we're never going to be in the situation of winning a World Cup. It doesn't give them something to look forward to and something to play for, a bit more of a representation for your country if you're playing for something rather than just the hope of a position for a World Cup.
When you're in the Europa League, as Celtic have discovered this season, it is possible to be drawn into a group where you can play RB Leipzig at Celtic Park and get a crowd, the best part of 60,000 strong, and have tremendous atmosphere. And it was like a Champions League night in the guise of a Europa League tie. Mm-hmm. But if you have this tournament for those who were not good enough to make the World Cup at international level,
who's going to turn up then? Yeah.
But is it not all relative? Because, I mean, off the top of my head, where the last World Cup, was it not Italy and the Netherlands didn't qualify? So it would be the same. You know, you've got the best that make it into the Champions League. You're still going to get good sides
but
who
nothing,
don't make it. It's all relative.
I don't think there's anything in it for you, though. You know, in the Europa
League,
it's
better than twiddling your thumbs, I think, is Charlie's point. Yeah, and it gives you some sort of competition to move towards.
But, well, you could take the dark side of that argument and say, what if you flop in that one as well? You're really digging a hole for yourself.
But when do you play it?
Well, at the same time, I think he means.
Same time as the World Cup song.
It then becomes the also-rans cup and nobody bothers.
Charlie?
Can I have my second point?
If you make it quick, yeah.
It's along the Brexit side. Why doesn't the four teams come together? Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland, England, and just represent a United Kingdom, therefore...
I'll give you the very quick answer, Charlie.
There's a quick answer to that.
Yeah. Because
we could be here till 4 a.m.
Because FIFA will tell UEFA, well, that lot don't need four teams in the European competition, so just have one British team in the Champions League.
I think that's a conversation for a completely different night, Charlie from Cambus Lang. Thank you. We're going to get the full-time teaser up and running, and we're going to speak to Stephen Cragan, because his Motherwell Colts side are the first ever through to the quarterfinals of the Iron Brew Cup, and they're playing the first team of Ross County tomorrow. We'll get to that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep the calls coming, or if you want to tweet, we're at Clyde SSB. We're about to speak to Stephen Cragan. His Motherwell Colts side are in action against Ross County's first team tomorrow. It's a bit of a first for the Iron Brew Cup, so we'll find out about that game and if this idea of introducing Colts teams to the competition is working. Let me just quickly set up the question for you two, because my goodness, you need as long as possible if your track record is anything to go by. John Clark has sent it in, and he said a nice easy one. We'll see about that, John. Hugh and Derek make these questions look difficult all the time. Since 2000, 10 players have won the Scottish Cup and then went on to manage in Scotland's top flight. So it sounds simple. Since 2000, 10 players have won the Scottish Cup and then went on to manage in Scotland's top flight. He says caretaker managers don't count.
Is Jackie McNamara on that list?
He is.
Right.
Anyone else? I'll take one guess from you, Derek, and then we'll park it for a little bit.
I'm not thinking yet.
One more, Hugo.
Nope.
I'm surprised that was your first go-to. No offence to Jackie McNamara, just there are some more obvious ones on the list. All right, okay. Stephen Craigan's on the line. Stephen, don't you dare give away any answers to this question. I want to see these two struggle. But thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, Gordon. No problem at all. No problem. I've got a couple of answers in my head, but I'll keep it to
myself. Yeah, exactly. That's for the best. I want to see them toil, at least for another half an hour. Stephen, a big game for your Colts side tomorrow up against Ross County. Now, the first Colts side ever to get to the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup. It must be an exciting occasion for you all.
It is, Gordon. You know, since the tournament was introduced, well, this is the third season of it, it's been nothing but excitement for us. You know, I heard you kind of mentioning the question about Colts. Is it the way forward? Well, from a selfish perspective at Motherwell, we think it is. You know, we think it's the quickest way of getting our players in the first team. Young players, getting to, you know, test them outside. I keep using the phrase outside their comfort zone. Putting them into an environment that's different. They're playing against men every week. But also the fact that you can monitor it if it's, you know, within your own setup. You can monitor the system, the style of play, how many minutes to play. You can put players on loan. You lose them a little bit. Of course, you can go and watch and do what you have to do, but things are different when you go on loan. I like the fact that they play in their own environment and they get to play against senior teams, men's teams, and you learn a lot more about their character, their mentality, their physicality, all that stuff that our manager wants to see before he puts a young player into the first team. I think it's invaluable.
Yeah, a lot of the criticism of the competition, Stephen, has come from people don't like the idea of, Welsh teams, Irish teams being involved. Do you think that whole situation is perhaps clouding the fact that a lot of the Colts teams are getting good experience against these, these men, as you call them?
Possibly, Gordon, because people start to think that it's maybe going towards some sort of cross-border league or, there's other interests. I don't think there is. I think they've just tried to spruce the tournament up, trying to make it more attractive for other teams. But from the Colts' perspective, I mean, the argument is that some teams lose in the first round and they say, well, there's the point proven that the teams aren't good enough, they shouldn't be in it. It's actually the opposite. The kids need more of this. The kids need to play against the teams more often, so we can get the experience, so we can grow, so we can get better. And you tend to find some of the teams, without talking about sour grapes, but the teams who don't like it tend to be the teams who go out early on and get beat. And sometimes they talk about getting embarrassed against the Colts team. Well, these young players are desperate to be football players. They're in a full-time environment. We've went back to reserve football, which is effectively bringing older players down to play with younger players. We should actually go in the other way. We should be taking younger players and putting them against older players in a competitive environment as opposed to reserve football. I don't mean it's friendlies, but it's not. But it's not as competitive as playing in a league or some sort of structure. So, no one's ever came to me and asked a question and said, what do you think, Stephen? You work with players every day. You work in a full-time environment. Do you think it's good? Do you think it's not good? Do you think it's, progressive for your club? Whether they listen to me, whether they don't, it's still nice to be asked.
Well, what's good about it then? You get the obvious, the physicality would be the one that sort of jumps out, Stephen. That's, I think, most people's idea. Is that the main thing? What other aspects do you feel are beneficial, for instance, when your young Motherwell team go up against the Ross County team, who is second in the championship at the moment?
Well, we want to see how they approach it mentally. Does it faze them? Do they get frightened? Do they give the ball away more often? Are they sure to take a touch on the ball? The technical side of it as well, not just the physicality side. Of course, the physicality side of it's important because you want to see can they compete. We're in the gym 3-4 times a week. Will that be enough tomorrow against Ross County? We don't know. We don't know until we get there. We can presume, some people presume, it won't be because they're first team players, they play every week. Well, that's up to the players to try and rise to that. So, can they cope with the ball at their feet? Does their game change? From playing a reserve game on Monday against Morton down at Capello to playing Ross County's first team on Saturday, the players still try and do the same things. They still take the ball under pressure. They still make the same runs. Or do they hide? If they make a mistake, does it affect them? So there's so many things that our manager wants to see before he puts someone in.
Stephen,
we can see it in training. We can see it in reserve games. But I think games like tomorrow are vital for them.
Stephen, we had a question in Beat the Pundit at 7 o'clock. Who left Inferno in the 90s for £650,000? The answer was Jackie McNamara, but that's irrelevant. The question is, the 90s are way in the past. The days of £650,000 transfers between Scottish clubs are way in the past. Is it going too far to say that Motherwell Colts are absolutely essential to the immediate future of a club like Motherwell?
You spot on. That's it in a nutshell, to be honest. Our club rely, not all clubs do, not all clubs, enter the reserve league or do with that. Our club is vital, and we're a club who traditionally from, you know, I joined Motherwell in 94. They just sold the late, great Phil O'Donnell to Celtic. From then, since I've been here, Motherwell are a club who sell players. So they need to bring players through the academy, into the reserves, into the youth, whatever it may be. They have to sell them. Our business model is we bring players in, we sell them on. Mm. How do we showcase them? How do we get them into the first team? How do we sell them quicker? Well, we'd want to put them in the environment where they play against men so the manager can judge them, put them in the first team, sell them on quicker, effectively. Motherwell fans don't want to hear that. That is the business model of Motherwell. It's worked for the last 25 years since I've been here, and it will continue to be that way. So the sooner we can get these young players up to test them, you're right, then we can maybe sell them on for some money.
To be fair, it's the business model for bigger clubs than Motherwell. I mean, Celtic get them in for reasonable fees and hope to sell them for £20 million.
A different market, I suppose. Yeah, Stephen, let me ask you about how much the occasion plays a part then, because you mentioned, you know, can the guys handle it? Can they still take the ball? Can they still do the things you want them to do against more difficult opposition? Is it also an interesting challenge to do that on the pitch at Fir Park, not a, you know, a smaller stadium, and in front of a crowd of maybe a couple of thousand, like there were when you knocked Sligo out in the previous round?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Sligo, because that almost helps them a little bit, because tomorrow's not a new, you know, something new for them. You know, I'm hoping they've been there, Gordon, they've walked into the stadium, they've played in front of over 1,000 people, you know, they've played against a good team, they've been able to win the game, so it's not a culture shock to them. They're not arriving on the pitch tomorrow, we're having a family game, thinking, oh, this is all new to me.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that they've only had it once, but it still helps them moving forward. But exactly, Gordon, you're right. We want to see, can they handle the occasion? Because their manager puts them in front of 10, 12,000 at Fir Park against Rangers or Celtic. He wants to know before he puts them in whether they can handle it or not. Of course, on the day, they still may change or play against a bigger team. But if he thinks they have that mentality or the self-confidence to go and do that and express themselves, I think that's the key. Express themselves. That's the message. Just express yourself and flourish.
And you're always looking
for... Take it.
Sorry, Stephen. I was just going to say, you're always looking at who's coming through. Obviously, Alan Campbell and Chris Cadden are the flag bearers at the moment. In recent weeks, we've seen David Turnbull in the first team, scored a couple of cracking goals. You would love to call on him tomorrow, but he's away with the Scotland under-20s, so that must be bittersweet, I suppose. You can't play him tomorrow, but I'm sure you're delighted that he's away with Scott Gemmell.
Listen, delighted, absolutely. You know, I was quite critical last year when the under-19 team, he didn't go away with them. I felt they should have been in that squad. And, you know, our manager's managed them well. He's eventually waited until the time is right to put him in. So, listen, David's going to be a superstar for me. David will be the next player, I think, to lead Motherwell for big money. I just think technically he's got everything you need to go and play at the top level. What level he'll get to, I think David will determine that, Gordon. But technically, you know, certainly he can do that. So, we've got Jake Hastie and Lona Alba, who'll come back tomorrow and play. I am allowed 2 players over the age of 20. But I can guarantee there will be no 30-year-olds playing tomorrow. I think it will be minimal over the age of 20, my 2 experienced players will be. So,
I'm going to see a Keith Lasley or anything putting the boots on.
No, unfortunately. We played a staff game last week and Keith will definitely not be in the squad. I can guarantee that. But it'll be good, Gordon. You know, we're thoroughly looking forward to it.
Good stuff, Stephen. Well, we wish you well. It's a fascinating one, Hugh. If you always talk about, you know, sort of levels and where players are at, we wish Stephen well and we'll say goodbye to him for now. So, you know, Motherwell's under-20s against the first team of Ross County. That'll be interesting to see, because it's a Ross County side, by the way, who's going well.
Well, I think if Motherwell Colts win this competition, there must be a big job in it for Craggs.
He's actually gone. He is. So you didn't have to say that.
I think you'll learn a lot tomorrow with these kids. It's all right.
Tough,
it's all right
doing
tough
well. Test.
Just go in there. Yeah, absolutely. Right, you handle playing against a decent side there? You know, I think you'll learn an awful lot from the young.
Ian Fitzpatrick's not as sure though from his perspective. He says the Challenge Cup is now a nonsense because it was a chance for lower league teams to win a cup. Now it's pandering to bigger teams. Anytime my team has drawn a Colts team, they reciprocate with the youth players and then still charge the fans the same cost. Totally ruined, he says. What about this question sent in by John Clark? Since 2000, you can play along on Twitter. I can see a few of you. Third Frame has got a couple of the answers.
Right.
He's adding more as we go. Let me just read the question if anyone missed it, Hugh. Since 2000, 10 players have won the Scottish Cup and then went on to manage in Scotland's top flight. Guys like Jackie McNamara. Who else?
Neil Lennon.
Yes.
Stephen Presley.
Yes.
Oh, I've got him written down.
Paul Hartley.
All right, give Derek a shot.
No, I was going to see Alan Johnston, but that's maybe a bit much.
Robbie Nielsen.
Okay, that's a good start. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you're actually halfway there.
Not Jim Goodwin, though.
No. Okay. He's not managed in the top flight yet, so in caretaker managers don't
count.
Oh,
you mean in your premiership?
Yeah, the top flight.
I mean, just top flight football in Scotland.
No.
Paul Lambert.
Yes, I think you're showing off. I think we have to slow you down for once. Paul Lambert, Neil Lennon, Jackie McNamara, Paul Hartley, Stephen Presley. We'll get the other four answers, hopefully, between now and the end of the show. 0141 951 1025. There is still plenty of time for you to get involved, and you tweet at Clyde SSB. Carlos is a Rangers fan from Ayr. He's another one who's given us the slow run up, Hugh Keevans. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's my computer screen that's taking the Friday
night off.
He's just
getting along. He's just getting along the beach here. There, he's coming up. He's coming up for the shows. Here we go.
Yeah, no, he's definitely he's keeping us waiting too long. This is live radio, Hugh Keevans, so you have to pad when these things happen. I'm just looking at Twitter. Token Jester likes he likes to play along with the teaser. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that tweet, and he's got
well done.
He's got two that you don't have actually. So that is interesting. Yeah. Okay. Carlos with us yet? Nah. You got any, Derek?
No, I'm still thinking.
Right, so we've got McNamara, Lambert, Lennon, Presley, Hartley, Nielsen.
Give me your... Oh, tell you what. Right on cue, Carlos has joined us. Carlos is a Rangers fan from Ayr. What's your point tonight, Carlos?
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Hi, yeah, good, thanks.
How you doing? My first point, I've actually got 2 points. I said to the boy beforehand, obviously I hadn't thought of it beforehand, but I'll tell you the first one. First one is, there's a top striker in this country just now. Young boy, he scored 52 goals in 50 games, named Lawrence Shanklin, and he's not even been considered for the Scotland team, which I think is it would be a no-brainer for me to at least try him. You know what I mean?
Well, we're trying to qualify.
Well, like, carry on, Carlos.
I just wanted to know what your views would be on Lawrence Shanklin, obviously getting a chance.
You know, he's fantastic story at Ayr United. But we're trying to qualify for a competition, a major competition, for the first time in 20 years. Now, you know how it works in this country, Carlos. You're a daily observer of Scottish football. If Alec McLeish puts in a player from our championship, then the vast majority slaughter him for doing that. That's why he's going for players like John Fleck, who...
I don't understand that.
You know... who have been with Rangers and gone down to England, and you know they're playing at a very high standard in England. But Lawrence Shanklin, with the greatest will in the world, if Alec had picked him, then he would have been ridiculed.
I mean, Dobie's the same, the Queen of the South, isn't he? People that score goals at that level, and even our great friend up in Peterhead, who we keep saying
he's League Two now, though, isn't he? Rory McAllister, that's a bit different.
But I'm saying that somebody scores goals, that's the level they're at.
What do you think, Carlos?
I don't know. I know that he's been touted by a couple of like good teams down south as well, and I think he's actually been touted for Rangers as well. So if he's good enough to come to these teams, I think he's good enough to score goals at any level. But I don't think it's acceptable, obviously, to say that he can't score goals at a higher level when he's banging them in at the level he's at just now.
Well, to be fair, he's played at a higher level and never really done it.
He was a bit younger though, wasn't he? This is him in the form of his life now. Hugh, I suppose the other thing would be, I can almost see your answer coming, so I'll preempt it. You know, we've got one priority only really is to win games now and focus on qualifying. If we could afford though to maybe just take a step back and look at a bigger picture, would it be worthwhile even bringing guys like him, and I'm not saying him specifically, into the squad to train in that environment with a view to what happens down the line, even?
Sure, I'd have no objection to that whatsoever. If he was brought along to Hampden prior to the game with Israel and trained with the squad, fine. But the bottom line, if Alec McLeish doesn't win these two games, or to put it another way, if Alec McLeish lost both of those games, he'd no longer be Scotland manager.
Yeah.
Because the country would demand that he lose his job. So he's not going to take a risk on Lauren Shanklin, with the greatest respect.
Decent suggestion. No, thank you to Carlos, the Rangers fan from Ayr. Listen to this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas. In partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. Caring about children in Glasgow and the West.
Hugh Keevans has undoubtedly started his Christmas shopping already. The time is fast approaching. He'll be surrounded by all the grandkids, many of us will. It's generally a time for bringing all our family and friends together. But, folks, there is a harsh reality that for thousands of children right here on our doorstep, it is just another day. With your support, we've managed to fund over 19,000 breakfasts, which have given children from some of the most disadvantaged areas the best possible start to the day. Imagine that. I think we all take breakfast for granted. That's not the case for some of these children. You can help this Christmas by supporting Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. Let's hear from where your money goes. One of those involved is the Crookston Community Group. They're a food share organisation, helps battle food poverty in this area. Nazreen from the group explains that the need is actually ever increasing in this day and age.
We've found over the years we're giving out more and more food parcels each day, whereas before it would be each week. This is the first time for us where Cash for Kids giving us that money allowed us to actually feed children, and they came from everywhere. It was not just the hunger side of it, it was the emotional side of it, it's isolation side of it. There's so many different other issues that were being dealt with at the same time.
You can help Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. To donate £5, text the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. It's the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and there's still work to be done on John Clark's teaser. Since 2000, 10 players have won the Scottish Cup and then went on to manage in Scotland's top flight. Caretaker managers don't count. And the only thing I will say, this won't make any difference to you two, but I'll say it anyway because people out there may be wondering. There's someone on the list who I don't think he played in said Scottish Cup final, but he still goes down as a winner. I think he still got a medal. Don't think he played in the final.
He was on the bench but didn't get on.
I don't think this will affect you, to be honest, but it's just something worth noting. So far you've got Paul Lambert, Neil Lennon, Jackie McNamara, Paul Hartley and Stephen Presley. You've got four to get. Even just throw some guesses so we can think about it together.
No.
But what's your train of thought then?
Well, my train of thought is that Martin O'Neill comes into Celtic in 2000.
Uh-huh.
And Dick Advocaat's at Rangers.
Right, okay.
So my train of thought is that the four remaining all played for Celtic or Rangers.
Do you know what? You're actually correct.
Right.
Yeah, you've eliminated all the other ones somehow. These guys did win the cup for Celtic or Rangers since 2000. Yeah. And then went on to manage. To help. Well, again, I'm not sure this will help
league,
you.
In the top league in Scotland.
None of them are currently managing in the top league in Scotland. That's not to say they weren't relatively recently, but none of them currently manage in Scotland's top flight. In fact, they're all quite recent. Hugh, there's a question on Twitter. And it was, if I can just find it, Brian. He says, do you think at the moment this is the lowest ebb in Scottish international football history? Embarrassingly scraping around for players who would never in their wildest dreams expect a call-up, asks Brian.
I don't think it's right to say, you know, players who would never in their wildest dreams expect a call-up. You know, Stephen Fletcher has been there before.
So you earn the right. You earn the right to get called up.
He's brought back because of emergency circumstances. But I'm tempted to go along with the argument for this reason. It's the cumulative effect of 20 years of non-success leading to a point where we are suspicious of certain players because we believe that the attraction of playing for Scotland, the lure of playing for Scotland, has started to diminish for some people.
But is that just based on the logic that the 20th year is worse than the 19th, which was worse than the 18th and so on? Because from memory, when you go, especially if the accusation is about players that we're calling up as if it's done with a scattergun, within that last 20 years, we have made far stranger call-ups than what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, but you know, when you're drawing 2-2 with the Faroe Islands in Croft Deer,
that's my point.
Then it's part of
it's
the
not
way.
Not as bad as that, is it?
It's part of the way through the journey, the 20-year journey. Now that it is 20 years, the kind of watershed moment, the moment where you pause for reflection, it feels like the lowest ebb because it's been 20 years and because the talent that we had when we left France in 98 has declined in 2018 and it feels like the lowest ebb.
You know how you can judge it, Hugh, is by the amount of Scotland fans that actually turn up at the games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the last half a dozen games even, you know, and mean, games at Hampden where you're normally, even if it's a bad night, you're getting 35, maybe 40,000. We're getting under 20,000 for games that mean things. You know, so that Scotland support that we had, and they were fantastic. Even they're starting to think, why do we bother coming in? Because we don't have a side to watch.
The vicious circle that we are in is that we've been unsuccessful for too long. It will take success to bring back the cliche that was the Hampden roar, and we don't at the moment appear to have the players to bring it back.
Any more on the teaser?
Oh, this is annoying me now.
Recently managed in the top flight, but no longer.
Who got their jotters recently? That is the question now.
Alan Stubbs?
Yes.
Oh.
And that was the one I said I don't think he played in the final. Should have three to get. Who else has had their jotters in the top flight this season?
This season?
Oh, I've given away another clue. You need it though, you need it.
I know. This season.
Rangers winger, Hearts player as well, he was. He managed one of the Tayside clubs. Oh, come on, you two.
Oh.
Who's the Dundee manager at the moment?
Neil McCann.
Neil McCann's the answer. Right, quickly, let's squeeze in one more call. Sharon is in the East End. What's your point tonight, Sharon?
Hi. I'm just calling in to make a plea for the players and the calling off and how loyalty goes both ways. I'm a family member of a player. Don't want to mention his name because I don't have permission to.
Fair enough. I'm going to guess who it is.
And so... He's a prominent player, right? Tipped to be the next captain after Scott Brown left. Suffered injury and came back to the team. And when he went away, the last time Scotland went away, his cousin, who is who I'm related to, died.
Mm-hmm.
5 days later, her brother died. His son's birthday was at the same time. And every family member says to him, you need to go with the team, you need to go with the team, you need to get your place back. And he went and sat on the bench whilst these two cousins were getting buried and his son was having a birthday. Tell me how that doesn't dishearten you.
Listen, and people can make their own... sort of estimations as to who Sharon's talking about. I think many people might know, but that maybe it is easy for us to ignore the personal element, and not just us fans, people looking from the outside. It's the old saying about you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
If someone presented a family bereavement, one family bereavement, never mind two, if someone presented one family bereavement to me as Scotland manager and said, I can't play for that reason, I would say absolutely correct. Family comes first. You'll be back for other internationals. So if it's a family bereavement, absolutely correct that you sit that out. If it's your child's birthday, then, you know, all working men and women have on occasion.
Hold on. I think Sharon's talking about the combination of them all, Hugh, rather than just a birthday.
Yeah.
Well, as I say, family bereavement is 100% an allowable excuse for not being anywhere near the squad.
Family first, absolutely.
I travelled 8 hours yesterday to be at a funeral in the Western Highlands, and I understand the power of bereavement. So that is an allowable excuse.
Thank you to Sharon in the East End. We really have to move on. We're really out of time, and you've got two to get still on the teaser.
Only Scoobies.
Right, both former Rangers players. What if I told you one was no longer managing in the top flight, but he is still playing in the top flight?
Kenny Miller, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
And the other one, former Rangers player, managed Kilmarnock.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Lee McCullough.
Yes. Oh, you've done it. Well done. Thank you to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. Thanks for all the calls and tweets, and thanks for listening. We're back on Monday night, 6 o'clock. Hugh Keevans is here. I'll be here with Alex Ray. GBX Fridays up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.